want to talk about just surreal. Yeah, and it was dark, and you could even tell how devastating it is for that area. Talk with Sheriff Andy Schock there and some deputies, and they confirmed that at the time this morning, 10 confirmed dead in Faulkner County. Now that number has been bumped up to 11. Unfortunately, out of those 11, at least two of them have been confirmed as children.
Is there any way to find out missing? Did they have any numbers?
Right now, it's tough to account for them because it's so quick after the storm. They'll get a better idea of who is, you know, officially missing in the next 24 hours, because right now they're still recovering people. And unfortunately, we just learned they moved the media because the area that the media was stationed in, which they called the heart of Valonia, there was a gas station there and a rest stop called Keith's, and that was a big meeting place where they get coffee. United Methodist Church was right there, and unfortunately we were being told that they were picking up bodies out of the rubble there, so they had to move the media out. And so expect the death toll to unfortunately rise throughout the day. We talked with John Williams, the National Weather Service. He said that's expected whenever you have storms this strong and this consistent. You know, it started out really in Perrin, Arkansas, and made its way all the way up to almost Pangburn, stretched almost 90 miles through the center of the state. So you can just imagine.
Is it one, or can they find out if it was one tornado? Was there a few that?
You know, it's the same. They call them supercells, and they all relate to this one supercell. You know, it didn't stay on the ground the entire time, but this one cell hopped and skipped and jumped and stayed down for a while in several areas.
I heard Todd talking about this last night. Every time the tornado comes off the ground and a new spout hits the ground, they consider that a new tornado.
Okay.
It's all one cell, like Chris said, but it's a specific. Each tornado is a unique event.
Yeah, it's like the one that hit Mayflower. It wasn't technically on the ground all the way up to Valonia, but it did, you know, impact much of that area, and it just kind of went straight across diagonal to it. It didn't follow the interstate. It cut right across it.
You know, there are going to be stories that will come out of, I'm sure, heroism and certainly a lot more sad stories like you were alluding to. I saw one of your reporters on scene last night. I don't remember if he was in Mayflower or Valonia. Maybe it was Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how he said they won't confirm any deaths. He said, but we can clearly see bodies that are covered by sheets. I mean, it was, and like you said, too, I mean, there were people that were happening onto bodies strewn, you know, around in the communities that they lived in. I mean, it was a devastating, just unbelievable scene last night. Like you said, talk about surreal from your perspective. Think about coming out of your home and not only seeing the devastation around you, but also folks who'd been killed by the storm. I mean, lying there. I mean, it's just it's something like out of a horror film. You can't even imagine.
I was talking to someone at the station this morning, and I just said, I've never seen anything like this before. I've seen tornado damage in certain places, and I've never seen anything that looked post-apocalyptic. It felt like this is it. So if the end of the world happened, this is what it would look like.
Yeah.
And it's just unfortunate. That's not a movie. It's not a dream or a nightmare. It's a reality for a lot of people up there. A town of only 3,800. Mm. You know, you talk about the sheriff's deputies up there and the first responders. They all know each other. You know, it's a small community. They're well known, and it's tough for them, especially because they could be digging up a loved one out of that rubble. You know, a friend.
I'd heard 100 homes damaged.
At least.
Bologna specifically,
yes, and businesses, too, are included in that. And what's really surreal about it is when you say damaged, some of them are wiped out. The foundation is a brick home reduced to rubble, and then the foundation, and that's it. I mean, you don't see that too often, and the National Weather Service is expected to go up there and survey that damage. And early reports indicate at least an EF3, possibly an EF4, depending on some of the structures.
Yeah, it's going to take, when you think about the process now, we had a guy calling that's been through it before, lost his home in the past, but it's going to take, you know, days and weeks, you know, to clean up the rubble. It's going to take days to bury the dead. I mean, that's a process that's going to be unbelievably hurtful and tough for communities, and it's going to take many months now to rebuild those communities. So, and again, we talked about Mayflower, too. We touched on this earlier, and I know you guys talked about in the newscast. They've been through so much with the oil spill, and that community's been through such a tough time this last year anyway, and now you pile this on top of it. It's just, you know, quite literally, unfortunately, it's just sad, man.
Yeah, we talked to one resident up in Valonia, too. His house got torn down by the tornado three years ago. They just rebuilt it this past year. Reduced to rubble yet again. So people who
I've heard
have
of a
rebuilt,
couple stories like that,
and just like the middle school up there, they just rebuilt the middle school. It was expected to come open in August, and now already having to start all over on that again. So the community of Mayflower, the community of Valonia, and we can't forget about our friends over in Perrin out there West Little Rock and past that area off Canis Road.
Yep.
Have you seen on Twitter? I mean, the damage is extensive over there as well. It's more rural, you know, not as heavily condensed. A lot of farmland out there. My grandfather got hit.
Tree. Really?
Yep, his deck was destroyed out there.
Where's he at?
He's out in Perrin, just probably about 4.5 miles past the cutoff, the Ferndale cutoff. Yes. So a lot of communities out there also affected as well. Some farmland.
Where did he go? Where did your grandfather go?
He didn't really know at the time that the storm was coming for Perrin. You know, they heard it would be in the state. They didn't really know about it. He was laying in bed. All of a sudden, his doors caved in. Trees started snapping, fell on the deck, fortunately missed the house, and they ended up having to go to a hotel last night.
Does he have a place to go?
Went to a hotel last night.
Well, I'm saying if he knows it's coming, does he have a room or is there a bathroom?
Yeah, they have a bathroom kind of centrally located in that area.
Everybody does the same thing, I think. We all have sort of the same philosophy. If you don't have a storm shelter, we all kind of do the same thing.
Yeah, tub, bathroom, and we always say as many walls as you can between you and the outside. If you have a centrally located room, whether it's a closet, you know, a bathroom. Bathroom, I've heard, is good because of the piping. You want somewhere where the structure and the piping could theoretically, you know, prevent some debris from flying in or you from flying out, but nothing's a sure thing. When it's an EF4, if that's what this was.
If you get a direct hit.
It doesn't matter.
Well, right? One of the saddest things that we heard is when that guy called up and had talked about a family of 11.
Well, that was in Pulaski County. There's been very little talk of the death in Pulaski County.
Two dead, or was it three?
It was a father and two of his children. Yes. And it was a family of 11.
Yes, three confirmed dead right there in that family alone.
It wasn't enough room for everybody in their safe room.
Yeah.
House collapsed on top of everybody that wasn't in that room.
And going along with that, you talk about a safe room. Another person who was killed was in their safe room. One person in their safe room.
I heard that.
And the whole house was destroyed. The safe room stood, but unfortunately the debris was so powerful and the impact was so strong. The debris caved the safe door in, ended up killing the person inside of the safe room. So when you can't go to your own safe room and be safe, you know, what left is there?
You're talking about like a constructed safe
room?
The
entire house was gone. Governor Mike Beebe in his press conference alluded to this and just how strong the storm was. The entire house was gone. The safe room, still standing. The door to the safe room caved in. Debris hit it so hard it punctured in. It ended up killing whoever was inside. And we'll find out more information about those who passed throughout the next several days and their stories. And it's just going to continue to, unfortunately, pile up throughout the day. Well, tonight on Live at 5, we'll have an updated number, and it could still rise from there.
No question.
We always go through the same process. You're wary and nervous during the day because, again, you guys have gotten so good. The meteorologists have gotten so great about predicting the forecast, especially in severe weather events like this. Then you see it sort of descending on your community or close to it, you know, and we starts getting close. You know, you certainly are hopeful for the folks in Western Arkansas, but once it gets close to your community, you start kind of hoping, keep your fingers crossed, it's not going to impact us. Then if it does get close to you, you hope, okay, maybe it'll go around us. And we've actually had storms that were closer to us personally and seen much more, you know, scary situations as far as the skies go and the amount of weather that's sort of impacted us. But then you start kind of following along and you realize the kind of damage. And Todd was talking about the unique event of the debris ball, which is not a term that I'd ever heard before, I guess, was it was sort of collecting things along the way and rolling it up to 25,000 feet and growing in strength as it went across that debris field path. And
it dropped debris in other parts of the state. You know, reports on Twitter, we've gotten emails in the newsroom, parts of the debris from that family that was killed here in Pulaski County. A box of theirs was found in Heber Springs.
That's incredible.
Just to show you how far these storms can take the debris.
But you go through the process, and then you start hoping against hope for other people that are in the line of the storm. And then today, now you feel remorseful and you grieve for the folks who've been lost through it. So,
what did your grandfather say? Did you get a chance to talk to him about this particular storm and some of the others that he's seen? I'm assuming he's lived in that area.
Yeah, he's lived there
for
a long time. I haven't talked to him today about it. My dad, you know, and I've been out there when storms have happened. I remember, and they live out in kind of like a valley area over there off Canis, and usually they just pass right over, and they've never had really a big issue out there when it comes to tornadoes. This was the first time, and I think that's why some people, if you've never really experienced one, and living here in Arkansas, you know, most people have experienced one, but maybe not that close. When it happens to you, it's too fast to react. If you're glued in on the news or you're glued in on your Twitter or app or whatever you're using, you might have a minute, maybe 2 minutes to react. If you're not, then it'll happen too quick where you can't really make up for it.
Well, that's
it.
I heard the sirens, and I was telling him I heard the sirens in my head. I'm looking outside.
Yeah.
And at any point in time, that thing could turn.
No, I mean, the thing is, if you hear the sirens, they're going off in far enough in advance, almost every case, that you're going to have time to take shelter.
I understand, but I've been in a situation before, right down in Rebsman, where it all of a sudden gets extremely dark and the rain starts coming. And by that time, you know, luckily I'm in a big structure, but I could see if somebody is in a smaller structure house. It happened up at K-Mac Village. A thing just happens in a matter of minutes.
Yeah, but typically if you're paying attention to what's going on, like Chris said, sometimes you're not, and that's certainly understandable. And if
that's the issue when you're not.
But again, guy was in a safe house and he still got
I know, but I'm saying generally speaking, you're going to give yourself a better chance. I never thought, Chris, that we would ever see double-digit loss of life again because of the ability to predict these storms and to update you and go, hey, in 10 minutes, it's going to be on your community. Take your shelter now. And again, it wasn't even necessarily just the heads up like you said. I mean, some people were in safe places or what they thought were safe, and they still were killed. We had a lot of people stuck on the road last night.
Yeah, I don't remember
seeing so much video on I-40 like that, which it's I mean, that's such a big thoroughfare as far as interstates go. It's surprising because it seems like every storm that comes through here almost will come up through that way, whether it's through Saline County or west of there and up through that way like it did last night, you know, and it'll cross I-40 eventually. So it's surprising we don't see more of that, I guess, because there's always people on 40.
Yeah, I guess that's something that, you know, it's just one of those things where if you're in the car, you have the ability to kind of gauge where it's at sometimes.
What do they tell you to do? We were talking about this earlier. I mean, I'm thinking, you see cars that are rolled up and people survive inside. They tell you to get out.
I've always learned, get out and find a ditch. But sometimes, for example, my other grandfather, whenever a tornado hit their house back in the 60s, you know what he did? They knew it was coming. They got in the car? They got in the car and they drove away. Yeah, he started driving towards it. He said, I'm going to Memphis. And they looked behind. They saw the tornado and everything. And that's what you used to do. Nowadays, I've always been told you find something. If you're on the road, hopefully you have a smartphone. You can get on an app and just turn around and go the other way.
Well, think of this, Chris, though. It changes directions. You don't know where it's going to go. It's not, you know, you get a hurricane. You know the hurricane is going to hit
this
particular spot. With that, you don't, and this other thing, Justin, if you do, let's just say you get in your car and you want to drive away. Let's just say a lot of other folks are doing the same thing, and there's some backup. There's some issue, and it's bad weather.
You should run. My point is, though, they do, generally speaking, follow a track. It's typical. They do typically follow a track.
It's rare if they shift that track
significantly. Maybe a few miles.
There's obviously a radius that they're going to.
Let's be honest. A few miles is a lot to us.
Think
of a few miles from where it was out in Ferndale.
Well, my point is, okay, let's say it's in Bryant, and you see it's bearing down on a track to hit your house. I'm not suggesting this at all. I'm going to batten down the hatches and stay home for sure. But I'm saying if you get in your car and you drive 20 miles east, you're not going to be in the path anymore.
I understand. And I'm sure that there are a lot of people who possibly think of that.
I wouldn't do that either.
I'm just saying if you're in your car and you drive away from it, it's probably smart. Yeah. But anyway.
Well, try getting to where you want to go, though. That's my whole point. You've got a lot of people maybe trying to get on the road at the same time that are going to cause...
Most people don't do that, luckily, because I think that's probably very dangerous.
Most people are just caught on the road.
Yeah, the other thing is, too, even though you're not in the tornado, you can be in some severe weather outside of that, and it isn't exactly a pleasant drive. Bottom line now, all you can do is try to help on the back end of things. 1-800-RED-CROSS, redcross.org. Text Red Cross to 90999. And the other thing is, too, we're going to have a lot of sad stories come out the next couple weeks. We're going to have a lot of, I'm sure, stories of heroism come out the next couple of weeks,
Certainly.
Chris. And I know for you guys it's going to be... gonna be tough telling those stories, but certainly we're gonna share some on our air as well. So it'll be it's gonna be a difficult time going forward. But I appreciate you popping in. I know it's been a long day. We'll let you get out of here, but we'll catch up again. We've got an event. We're gonna try to do a big all day effort on Thursday, and we're trying to organize the details on that. But we'll share with you guys, and hopefully we can get you on board with that as well and
Sounds
share that
great.
Info. Appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, Chris. Thank you, and thanks to everybody at KTV too. We certainly appreciate the opportunity to be able to share your live weather in an event like last night on our air.